I feel so fortunate to be ministering here tonight at this unique church called Central Assembly of God in Springfield, Missouri, the holy city or something. This was the first church I ever had a position on the staff. In 1963, Brother McQueen was the pastor and Max Elliott was the music director, and Max interviewed me and asked me would I be the part-time youth pastor. And I was so thankful to have such an opportunity. I guess I said I'll pray about it, and then 5 seconds later said, yeah, that'd be wonderful. I'd love to do that. But how many of you here tonight were in the youth group when I was youth pastor? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. No, wait a minute, Sister Triplett. You weren't in the youth group. But, oh, you were 35. I'm sorry, Sister Triplett, you were in the youth group. And let's see, who else over here was? Tony? And all the way in the back. Help me. Jackie Johnston was your maiden name. Johnson. Yeah, it's great to have you here tonight. My goodness. You survived the years. And the Nicholson, Virgil Millie Nicholson's daughters, Marilyn and Joy and Judy. And anybody in this section? I was looking over there and over here and over here, Randy Hurst. I know Randy just came back from a trip. I'd like to go over here just a second and let him tell you where he went or what happened or something like that. And if preach comes upon him, we'll hear him preach.
Yeah, I just came back from China, Tibet, and Sri Lanka. And in the China and Tibet portion, I was traveling with our dear friend David Plymire. And we went to Huangyuan, which is where Victor Plymire lived and planted the church and so forth. So it was an incredible experience. And there'll be a whole issue of the evangel coming up on that, so you'll be able to read about it. And then a few months down the line, we'll do an issue on Tibet. And I would just tell you, friends, that to go to Tibet and to go to a place where there's not one evangelical congregation anywhere. And to see, it was during the month when they, by Tibetan Buddhism, they believe they get 12 times the merit for every act they perform. There were multiplied tens of thousands milling through the streets and prostrating themselves. They take 3 steps, prostrate themselves, all trying to earn merit. And we saw people in Xining, China, more than 800 miles away where we started and went by train, who were beginning that journey 3 steps at a time and then prostrating themselves on the ground. And they will do that for hundreds of miles all the way to Tibet, not knowing that the grace of the Lord Jesus has covered everything. And it's already been paid for.
Hallelujah.
And that's why Paul's heart cried out that whoever will call, it's so simple, on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they call on him in whom they have not believed, in whom they have not heard, and how will they hear unless someone tells them? So you need to pray for Tibet. In Sri Lanka, I was thinking this morning, I sat right here next to my sister Judy, and to give you a little perspective on the commitment and the difference, the antithesis to Sri Lanka and Tibet. In Sri Lanka, where the gospel can be proclaimed, but where radical Buddhists are burning our churches, tremendous persecution, but the church is thriving. And in the congregation where I was preaching on Sunday, Deshaun, the pastor, if you remember Deshaun Wickramaratne that preached here a few months ago, that's his congregation. He had asked me to tack on to the China trip, coming and teaching his cell group leaders, because last year I was there for Deshaun to preach their 40 days of faith. In that 40 days, the congregation grew from 6,000 to almost 8,000. They grew 1,800 people, all new believers, split the cell groups from 750 to 1,500. So I went back this year to do 2 days of training for those 1,500 cell group leaders, and they had a 2-day national holiday. Now, I want you to picture this. If we had 2 days for Memorial Day or Labor Day, how many people you think would want to come out all day, both days, to be trained as cell group leaders? And they and the Sunday school teachers, 1,800 of them, were there from 9 to 5, both of those holidays, probably what equivalent to what our congregation was in second service this morning. And that's how committed they are to reaching that nation for Jesus. So anyway, thank you, Hubert. God bless you.
Oh, that blesses us to hear from you, Randy. Well, it's kind of a long story, but several years ago, the burden of my heart came upon my heart for Tibet and China and Sri Lanka to begin, or Tibet and China, and to begin to pray really the last 15 years each morning for people to know the Lord there. And then when the church sent us with the team in January to Sri Lanka, then I started adding that to the prayer each morning. And you said those three nations, and this morning early I was praying for China and Tibet and Sri Lanka. I got goosebumps when you, and Doug and Cindy Seitz are the ones that Glenda and I were able to go to China with 2.5 years ago. And it's so good to see Cindy back here after those months of treatments in Little Rock. And to do you feel like sharing a word? Thanks to the people. Here's Cindy Seitz. And Doug, we appreciate you. You're a wonderful husband, too, to this woman. My goodness. I'll let you say something about that if you want to.
I would be negligent if I didn't stand and give God the glory for all he's done. And thank you, wonderful people, for holding both of us up and our kids, our whole family up during these last 8 months. It has been quite a journey. And I can say I've walked where some of you have walked before now, and I can have compassion for you and know how to pray for you. But God is good, and he's brought me through victoriously this part of the journey. I am in remission already after 8 months of high-dose chemotherapy, and you, all your prayers, I know, have a lot to do with that, and I thank you for hanging on to his throne room, to the grace of God that has just brought me through. And I have a ways to go yet, but I know he'll be faithful to bring us through that as well. God bless you all. I love you all very much. Thank you.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing a word, Cindy. I feel like saying thank you all for coming to church tonight, because you got such a wonderful dose of God this morning. I didn't know if you would want anything else tonight. But really, really for you to, what was on my heart in this message, Jesus first, and for you to be showing that tonight in your heart is an inspiration. Inspiration to us who serve you. Five things that make you know you are living in 2010. When you accidentally enter your password on the microwave. When you have a list of 15 phone numbers to reach your family of three. When you email the person who works at the desk next to you. When you pull up in your own driveway and use your cell phone to see if anyone is home to help you carry in the groceries. And leaving the house without your cell phone, which you didn't have the first 20 or 30 or 60 years of your life, is now a cause for panic, and you turn around to go back and get it. It's a true story, isn't it? The next time you feel like God can't use you, just remember, Noah was a drunk, Abraham was too old, Isaac was a daydreamer, Jacob was a liar, bless his heart, Joseph was abused, Moses had a stuttering problem, Gideon was afraid, Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. I'm not laughing at the last part. I'm laughing about the long hair, because I wouldn't want that to upset anyone. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once and still brought people to Jesus. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. And still God did something great with him. Whenever you would begin to feel like God can't use you, just remember that. So our text really tonight is in Colossians chapter 1. The subject of Jesus first also made me curious about something. I decided to look at the beginning of each book in the New Testament and see if Jesus was mentioned in the first verse of each of the books of the New Testament, just to see how Jesus was put first. And I did find out that Matthew and Mark had Jesus first in the first verse of Matthew and Mark, but Luke and John did not. Acts does. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. And 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, all of them, Paul said something about Jesus first in the first verse. In 1 Timothy, he said, in 1 2 Timothy, Titus and Philemon. Philemon, he said, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, Philemon. But not so in Hebrews 1, verse 1. Not so in 1, 2, and 3 John. But yes, in James 1, 1, 1 Peter 1, 1, 2 Peter 1, 1, Jude 1, 1, and Revelation 1, verse 1, Jesus Christ is mentioned first in all of those books of the New Testament. Well, if Jesus is lifted up first in so many ways tonight, I hope that the bottom line of all this will be, again, how we are focused on Jesus being first in every situation in our life that could be a chance for wavering, a chance for yielding to temptation in some way, whatever it could be, that tonight there will be a ministry of God's Spirit here among us, just lifting up Jesus, Jesus first in every situation, that will be a stronger and stronger strength in your life for each step of your life, putting Jesus first. Hallelujah. So in Colossians 1, those verses 15 to 20 talk this way about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Or the King James Version, that word, the preeminence. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus Christ has the supremacy. Jesus Christ has the preeminence. It pleases God. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all working together as one, that Jesus is Lord of all. In that second place I want you to see is Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. In this scripture, in Philippians 2, 8 to 11, how can we not see here something about God at work with Jesus that shows how every knee, every tongue should confess him? Being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So God exalting Jesus, wanting his name to be the name above every name on the earth and in heaven, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That word Lord caught my attention again. I circled it again. I understand in the Greek it's kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S, meaning the owner or the master of my life. Jesus, the Lord, exalted to the highest place, given a name above every name. That is the place Jesus Christ has tonight. And yet he loves you and me and cares to be here right now in this meeting, and the Spirit of God lifting him up and exalting him in this place right now tonight. A third scripture is John 15, verse 26. How can we not look at what the Holy Spirit does and realize the activity going on right now on the earth through the Spirit of the Lord? John 15, 26, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send, Jesus said, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And what a testimony that is tonight that the Holy Spirit has about Jesus. Jesus being testified by the Holy Spirit as the one who is lifted up. The words inspired by the Spirit of God in this book of the Bible, telling us that Jesus is exalted, the name above every name. The Holy Spirit's activity to testify of him, a testimony of him as the one who gave his life and became the Redeemer. The Holy Spirit testifying of Jesus as the revealer of God on earth. The Holy Spirit testifying of Jesus as the helper in every time of need for the human person. Jesus is their helper. The Holy Spirit testifying of Jesus as creator and a restorer, repairer, the coming king, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, I baptize you in water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, tonight, the Lord has brought together, even in this place, those of you who have been traveling, those of you who have come to be here with us tonight. When I looked over here and just realized right now, our missionaries from Sri Lanka are here in this service tonight, Randy. Thank God as they've come in tonight. And Brother and Sister Dobson gave us that week together at the Bible school to see what God could do as we sought the Lord with them. Painted, worked on the buildings and things like that. And Brother and Sister Dobson, we're honored to have you here in this service tonight. God bless you. Jesus is exalted by the work of the Holy Spirit on the earth at this time. John 16, verse 14 says, he, the Spirit of truth, will bring glory to me, Jesus said, by taking what is mine and making it known to you. What about that personal work of the Holy Spirit that takes the things of Jesus Christ and makes them known to you? Don't you feel like a privileged character? That God saw to it that if you believed on Jesus and you would honor him as the Son of God and your Savior by his shed blood, that there would come things that the Spirit of the Lord reveals to you, takes the things of Christ and opens them up to you and reveals them to you. What a treasure in your life. What an encouragement in your life. What a strength in your life as the things of Jesus are opened up to you by the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of truth, taking the things of mine, Jesus said, making it known to you, his presence with you, his consecrated life as your example. Follow me, Jesus said. The keys to the kingdom that the Holy Spirit reveals for you to be active with in victorious ways in your life. The victory over death that Jesus gained and giving you such hope and such such faith that you too will rise at the coming of the Lord. Your body will be raised to meet your spirit that goes to be with the Lord when you die. And that great experience of a new resurrected body, Jesus being revealed to you by the Spirit of the Lord, taking from what is mine, Jesus said, and making it known to you. Jane Powell's mother is Pauline Solomon. Pauline Solomon has been a part of Central Assembly for over 70 years. She's 95 years old. Yesterday, Jane called with the message that her body will no longer receive anything. Ms. Solomon's body can no longer receive through the feeding tube. And so that's been removed. And no longer able to take nourishment except a little bit through the IV of glucose and so on. And so Glenda and I thought this afternoon we ought to just get there by her bedside in the hospital and just talk to her a little bit. She smiled. There's such a peace on her face. There's such a peace in her heart. She knows that she's going to see the King of Kings in a few days unless God did a miracle to extend her life. And she is able to just stay at peace because of the things the Spirit of the Lord reveals and is assuring and comforting to her heart. A few days ago, visiting again with Lois Hodges, who's 101 this year. Melvin Hodges was the head of Latin America and Assemblies of God for all of Latin America for about 25 years. Mrs. Hodges, in the last year now of her life, has been able to tell me things that happened on the mission field as she and her husband went to those missionaries. She said, we decided we were going to visit in the home of every one of the Latin American missionaries. And we went to every one of them and stayed in their home. And she said, their wives told me how much that meant to them for me to be with them in their home. Things that she could still share about. And even now, on a good day, her mind is real sharp as she's at Quail Hollow Nursing Home facility. But I see in people who are for years and years faithful to see God at work in their lives have peace at the time when they know their homegoing is near. It's real tonight, isn't it? What the Holy Spirit is doing in your life is real. I see some of you tonight brought back from the point of death, brought back from experiences that were tearing up your home, and yet the Lord brought you through it, and here you are, a walking testimony. Yes, it's real. The Spirit of the Lord brought life back into our lives. Jesus is with us. We are strong in the Lord. So the way that it's worded about the Father glorifying the Son, the way that it's worded about the Holy Spirit's activity, taking the things of Christ, revealing them, lifting up the things of Christ and testifying about Him, things that are so clear as to what God intends. His Son is to be exalted in the view of all, and every knee to bow and every tongue confess, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. As that is true, it seemed to me then we should spend a few moments tonight saying, how then does that apply in my life of putting Jesus first where I am? Jesus to be first where we are. There were three areas that I specifically felt to bring out tonight. One is in the area of how you spend your time. Spending time with Jesus first includes what the psalmist said in Psalm 63:1, early will I seek thee. Now that can mean early in a situation where you are questioning what to do, and early in that you will seek the Lord, or it can mean early in the day. Before you give time and attention to the television, the newspaper, to anything else, early will you seek the Lord's face. Early will you seek His direction for your day. Early will you bring your children, your grandchildren to Him. Early will you bring your pastor and those of Assemblies of God leadership. Early will you bring hearts before the Lord that are on your heart and believe God for the day ahead. The psalmist said, early will I seek thee. That's one way to put Jesus first with our time. What's the result? One area I saw the result of that is Psalm 34:10. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Do you want more good things in your life? Psalm 34:10 can be a red letter verse for you this week. Those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. Every good thing the Lord wants to give us. If we seek the Lord, it says, those who seek the Lord will lack no good thing. I said that 3 or 4 times there. I want it to stick. I want it to be real to us. As we seek the Lord, we will lack no good thing. Seeking the Lord, putting Him first with our time. Secondly, putting the Lord first in our finances and our career. As thinking back on early stages of life when decisions were made about what career you would go into, and some of you are younger tonight, some of you here may still be in your 20s or 30s and 40s. And so career and earning a living and applying your giftings to what the Lord wants to be the most fruitful in your life is very, very important. Putting Jesus first. Whatever stage you're at right now in your life, if you're no longer a teenager, let's reflect back on those perhaps who would be a testimony tonight to say, I'm so glad I put the Lord first in what I should do in those early stages of life. Seeking the Lord, putting Jesus first in the young stages of life. Those who inspired us to do that. I still think of my dad who was an evangelist part of his life, and then he began to pastor some. Then he went from the Pentecostal Holiness to interdenominational, and as an independent revival center, my teenage years were going with him on Tuesday nights to home Bible study in Kinston, North Carolina, going on Thursday night to Goldsboro, North Carolina. I remember that sophomore, junior, senior year in high school, just about every Tuesday and Thursday night, spending those hours with Dad as he went to those home Bible studies, and on Sundays, and first opportunities to teach Sunday school. Once in a while, he wanted me to seek the Lord to preach a message. And then when I was a senior in high school, Brother Lynch, who pastored a church in Fayetteville, North Carolina, said, come preach us a weekend revival. And so I got there, and you know, nothing makes you seek the Lord like when you have to get up and preach a sermon. And just seeking God for those days of revival to come to that church, and seeking the Lord about what He wanted to do, and having to make choices about putting Jesus first and being sure that I was sincere and honest with what I was committing myself to the Lord for and to do. And just wanting the Lord to make Himself real to us, you know, at those stages in life. Or if you're here tonight, maybe realizing there's going to be a change in some of your work. There's going to be a change in your job. There's going to be a change in your life in some way. And to take it to the Lord and just let Jesus just take first place in that. Whatever you want, Jesus, that's what I want. I just wanted to know for sure He knew my address. He knew where I lived. I wanted to know that He knew my name. I just would seek His face for Him to make Himself real in whatever He wanted to do. And I was not satisfied unless I felt that He revealed Himself to me in some way that applied to my life. And then the way the steps led to come to Evangel University, not having been in the Assemblies of God, but that summer after high school, going to an Assemblies of God camp meeting and meeting the academic dean of Evangel and things like that. And I know it was just because I wanted the Lord to be first in my life. And he let opportunities come and circumstances happen and to see our lives unfold and to see what God would begin to do in those early years. So for you tonight, whatever it is, the Lord being put first is still so important. The Father puts Him first. The Holy Spirit puts Him first tonight. The books of the New Testament put Him first tonight. Jesus first. So with our career, with our finances, seeking first the kingdom of the Lord and His righteousness, and believing that all the things we would need would be added to us. Isn't that still the best foundation for life tonight? Jesus' words are still so true. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Every bit of the righteous ways of the Lord in your life. Everything about the righteousness of the Lord that He wants to work out in your life. Just seeking Him and giving your life over to what He desires. If there's just a new everyday adventure for the believer who's trusting God to speak today. Do something today, Lord, that's unique or special for this day. Lord, it's your will that there come righteousness in everything that comes my way. I'm seeking first your righteousness, Lord, your kingdom. And I'll just let you, Lord, decide what gets added to me in life. We can trust Him. And seeking first the kingdom of God means seeking first the King of the kingdom, Jesus first. So in our finances, I still believe that the blessings of Malachi chapter 3 are blessings that I need in my life. Now I know in the New Testament, our finances are to be viewed as all belonging to God, the whole billfold and everything in it. And it says, be generous and be cheerful while you're doing it, and give as you purpose in your heart, and so on. And Jesus said, give and it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, things like that. That sounds great. And yet, some would want to say, well, Malachi 3 was for the Old Testament. Well, that would be okay, except for the fact that it says, If I do at least give tithe and offerings to God. It says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Now, in that verse, I love living in the Old Testament. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit before its time, says the Lord Almighty. I tell you, if the Lord Almighty says it, we can believe it. Amen? Oh, the blessings of the Lord, family, sir, ma'am, and what your family needs the Lord to do, and to rebuke the devourer, and to bring fruitfulness, and to open the floodgates of heaven, and pour out so much blessing you do not have room enough for it. Let's just make it the purpose of our heart that Jesus will be first in our finances and see what God will do. And I look back there, now I realize there's about a 13, 14-year-old. There's about a 10 or 11-year-old here tonight. I'm glad I've said everything I have, girls, about putting Jesus first in your life. You're going to have the best life ahead as you obey the Word of God. You're going to see God do so many good things in your life as you live by the Word of the Lord and put Jesus first. And He loves you tonight, and He loves every one of us here tonight to reveal Himself to us this way, the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to us. Putting Jesus first, I've said, in your time, in your finances, in your career, and thirdly, in our relationships or marriage. If you'll date only Christian boys, girls, you'll be blessed for it. If you will align yourself with Christian principles in your relationship, you'll be blessed for it. Amen? You are walking testimonies tonight. It's real. It's true. It's proven to be true in your lives. Every one of you that's over 50, 60, 70 years of age tonight, you have proven it to be true. When you put Jesus first in your relationships and in your marriage, good comes out of that. Strength comes out of that. Joy comes out of that. Glenda and I, early in our married life, realized we never have any fear or worry about unfaithfulness to each other when we put Jesus first. Putting Jesus first in your marriage, of course, means that you will really stay conscious of what He expects of you. It's pretty hard to fly off the handle, and I can't help but thinking of the axe, it loses its head when it flies off the handle. It's pretty hard to fly off the handle at your wife, or at your husband when you're putting Jesus first. It's pretty hard not to stop and listen to what they have to say when you're putting Jesus first, who, though he was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us, who was with God and was God earlier, he humbled himself. And Jesus says to us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The example in Jesus for us in our relationships, if we will put him first, proves that God will honor us for that. Jesus said, he that serves me, my Father will honor him or her. There's honor for you tonight in putting Jesus first. He that serves me, my Father will honor. There's honor for your life. There's a greater honor to be bestowed all through life as we put Jesus first. The Spirit of the Lord is magnifying him tonight, lifting him up, bringing him to fill your faith and your vision, your thought life, your language, how you talk, how you act. Putting Jesus first will be a cooperative thing with the Holy Spirit that you will be so honored by the Lord, you'll have great peace. Your decisions will be wise. The choices you make, the goals you set, because you're putting Jesus first. There'll be a peace within you about the way things are going. You won't worry about comparing yourself with somebody else. You are who you are. Jesus is first in your life as you put him first. And there is a joy and an excitement that he's pleased with you and you between you and him. A unique, wonderful relationship and walk with him. Putting Jesus first. You are such examples, so many of you, of having put Jesus first. I know we maybe shouldn't just draw out one person, you know, out of the crowd. But when I look down here at L.B. Larson and I think about those steps of life when he chose to prepare to teach at a Christian Bible college instead of becoming a world-renowned musician in some symphony or leader somewhere. When he chose to give his family the teachings of God's Word and see them going to ministry and marry ministers and see what God would do through their lives. To see him willing to yield himself and to work in a place of the headquarters music ministry and travel all over the United States when he could have been at home with his children growing on up. And I could multiply that tonight all over this congregation as I look at you and realize God has proven himself faithful. As you honored the Lord, there's been honor bestowed upon your life. When I see Ruth Hurst tonight and I realize how she prayed for me when I was youth pastor here and Glenda with me, June Hurst. When I realize June Hurst stayed faithful to God when her husband died pretty young, and how her example in serving the Lord and honoring the Lord reflected through her children now and the way they're living. And that can be multiplied all over this congregation tonight. When you put Jesus first, God honors you. I have said to different ones that I was seeking to really bring to faith in the Lord and help them find Christ. I've said to them sometimes, when you get to heaven, the one thing that's going to make the difference of whether God lets you into heaven or not is how you treated his son. You know, I had a funny experience in a way this week, but I took to our devotions Wednesday morning when Pastor Jeff was going to lead our devotions in the prayer room for all our employees, and I pulled the Bible off the shelf that had been given to me when I left this position as youth pastor here when Glenda and I moved to North Carolina to start pastoring. And when I opened that Bible and looked at one of the verses that we were reading, it said up at the top, June the 1st, 1969, Monroe, North Carolina. And I remembered being there when I was state youth leader leading teenagers in an outreach in that town to go door to door to ask people, could we talk to them about Jesus? I mean, 1969 is 40 years ago. I think 79, 89, 99, 2009. I mean, that's four decades. But that Bible is right in there saying to me the same God, just as real today, was leading and helping my life at that young stage of life. Young families, young people, when you put Jesus first, the Lord will honor you in your life. Keep your integrity, keep your honesty. Let Jesus just be first in how you talk, how you act, how you plan things out, what you want to do. And Brother Triplett, the Lord will honor us, won't He, for putting Jesus first. I love you, Brother Triplett. I love to hear you talk. I love to hear you preach. I love for you to walk in the room. I love seeing you. I sure am picking out some individuals tonight to talk about. But I mean, that could be repeated in every section tonight. That when we put Jesus first, when you have put Jesus first, we see in you tonight the proof. It's worth it all to give your life and put Jesus first. Glenda, please come to the piano. And let's share that chorus. We've sung it, I think, occasionally on Wednesday night, and maybe others of you who are here tonight would also know it, where we sing, Jesus, Jesus, Lord of all, Lord to me, Master, Savior, Prince of Peace. Glenda's going to play it, and let's begin to sing it. I'm going to let you just stay seated. We may sing through a couple of choruses before we invite you to come gather around the altar, but it's really looking right now in a prayerful way in this song for Jesus to be Lord to you and me.